Hello, this is Micha Sifri with PDF Network, and welcome to the fourth in our series of ongoing calls for members of the PDF Network. Today, we're going to be discussing how to pitch and not pitch political bloggers. Our first guest is Ben Smith from Politico, and Ben has a long history as a political blogger, starting out with the New York Observer, where he initiated the Politicker blog, and then went from there to the Daily News, and from the Daily News now to Politico in Washington. Hi, Ben.
Hey, thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure. Good to hear your voice. So I'm going to dive in with a couple of quick questions for you, and then we'll go to the audience listening. The first one is, what are, to you, the biggest do's and don'ts? I mean, what works if someone pitches you, and what clearly doesn't work?
I mean, you know, I think at this point, and for a lot of bloggers particularly, the people who write really intensively and regularly about a subject area, like, I know what interests me. And so, I mean, what works is a very short, very clear description of something, preferably with a link. I mean, and I think often people feel like they can explain to you why it should be interesting.
Sarah?
That's often not
Please
accurate.
Use your phone. Go ahead, Dan.
Yeah, and I think that, and brevity is what
brevity. Is email the best way to pitch you?
Yeah, absolutely. IM is probably the best way to pitch me, or email.
And do you make your IM account available for people, or do they have to, like, pigeonhole you and get you to give it to them?
No, it's up on the blog.
It's up on the blog. So you, yeah. How do you deal, do you get, like, IM'd, you know, by multiple people all the time? What's the flow like for you?
Yeah, it chilled out a little bit, but, I mean, during the election, it would have, like, 30 or 40 windows open and, you know, random people kind of just coming in to tell me what an idiot I was on my IM, or to say that they'd been, you know, standing in the corridor outside some union leader's office and had heard them, you know, break this piece of news, or, I mean, people feel very comfortable communicating that way. I mean, although it doesn't archive, it doesn't go through, like, the computer system of the organization you work for in the same way. I mean, is that, you know, it's, if you're concerned that your boss is reading your email, it's a good way to communicate.
I see. And how do you know to trust people who are IMing you?
Well, I don't, without verification of who they are.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, talk to them on the phone or more often, it's a tip, you know, somebody will give you a tip and you can confirm it elsewhere.
So for you, a lot of these people are people you already know.
No, and I am. Well, some of them are, but no. A lot of them are people I never know, actually. Like, some of them are people with, you know, complicated handles who, you know, are sources of good information, which I never print without confirming elsewhere.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But who sometimes pass stuff on.
Uh-huh. So would you say you're getting a lot of cold pitches from people who, you know, they just come out of the blue and have something interesting to say? Please mute your phone if you're just joining us.
Yeah, absolutely. Lots of them.
Lots of them. Okay. Does it help at all if the person pitching you shows that in some way they've actually been paying attention to what you're writing, like if it's relevant to something you've just written?
Well, it's clearly sort of in the PR manual that you say, the email begins, like, "Dear Ben, I'm a huge fan of your blog, and I liked whatever the item is that was, like, most recently on top." So it isn't actually that helpful to say that, because it's sort of a flag of, you know,
inauthenticity.
But, I mean, I think, like, the thing with a blog is that, you know, it is this sort of conversation, and people who read you do know that you would be interested in this, you know, in the fact that the opposition party in South Africa has a logo that clearly rips off Obama's, and so, like, you know that, and because you've sort of been obsessing about something similar on your blog, and so, like, somebody emailed you that, and, I mean, it's obvious they've been reading it, because that's what, you know, that's what they emailed you.
That helps.
Yeah.
Do you find yourself getting pitched in the comment thread of your blog? Do you pay attention to your comments that way?
I go in and out of the comments now because they kind of, like, they slowly, like the comment section of many political blogs, I think, kind of slowly deteriorated over the course of the election into a screaming match. So they've gotten a little better lately. And occasionally, I mean, it's less pitched than actually corrected, which is a very useful thing, too. You know, something in the comments, somebody will say, like, "No, you're an idiot, that's not how it is."
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and you can, you know, change it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a nice thing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So you are interacting with sources that way. Do you care about, like, if somebody pitches you and says, I've got an exclusive, does that up the odds that you're going to do something with what they're pitching to you?
Yeah, for sure. Because, I mean, you know, like, it's my sort of, what I'm reporting is, you know, new news, and I sort of assume that my readers have heard that I'm not the only thing they read and that they're reading other things. And so, you know, I want to show people stuff. I mean, I want to be giving my readers something that interests them and something new is going to be interesting to them.
Do you care about embargoes?
I mean, I respect embargoes if I'm included in them. You know what I mean? Like, if somebody says, you know, I'll give this to you if you don't use it by 7 a.m., I mean, you know, I mean, it's just a matter of sort of personal decency not to screw them on that. But if somebody, you know, but if somebody else forwards me something, I mean, if I get something that was in theory embargoed, but I wasn't bound by the embargo, then I'm not.
Then you don't feel that you've promised anybody that
right.
you're going to stick to the embargo. Do you watch to see if embargoes get broken and then jump?
Yeah, I mean, that's sort of a tricky thing. And Yeah, I do. And sometimes, I mean, that's something often, like, I have a conversation with an editor about, too. Because, I mean, ultimately, I mean, I'm not, you know, if I assume my readers are reading other things. If Drudge broke the embargo, it's not hugely urgent that I pop it up instantly, in part because you know, they can read it there.
So you're paying attention to the other places that are breaking news.
Absolutely. I mean, that's, and the sort of, I mean, in back when things weren't decided in the course of seconds, but rather minutes, you know, you could just kind of call up the spokesman or whoever was sort of trying to maintain the embargo and say, hey, it looks like it's busted. Do you mind if I go with this? And they'll usually say yes. And
now there isn't time to bother.
Sort of let you out of your, well, there probably usually still is.
Yeah. Speaking of time, how much lead time do you like to have when somebody's pitching something that's timely?
Okay, in a way, the less the better. You know, I kind of wanted to do it right then.
Really?
Yeah.
But don't you feel like you need, sometimes you need time to report?
Oh, well, it certainly, I mean, it really depends on what the, and, you know, what the piece of news is. If, you know, if it's something that this person, like, knows about, like, I'm resigning, this, you know, tomorrow, I mean, you don't need more time to report.
Are there, do you have any special warnings for people about dealing with a blogger? Like, should we assume that everything is always on if I'm out having a drink with you? Are we on the record unless otherwise?
No, I'm not sure blogger is really, like, a relevant category here.
Okay.
I mean, you know, like, any reporter or whatever, I mean, anybody. Like, certainly there are people who will buy you a drink and then, like, videotape your encounter and put it on the Internet. But I kind of wouldn't do that because, I mean, A, it wouldn't be that interesting, and B, you know, it's just sort of not a great way to, I mean, it's not a particularly good way to treat people. But, I mean, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think like, reporters and bloggers, like, each are very, very different on that front. There aren't set rules. I mean, I think if you send me an email out of the blue, even if it says on the top, this is off the record, if you haven't agreed, it's off the record. You know, it's not, that's a two-way agreement. And so it is something to be a little careful about.
Really? If somebody emails you and says, this is off the record, but you never agreed to it being off the record, you don't treat it that way?
You know, I'm inclined to, certainly, like, just as a sort of matter of not, you know,
of courtesy.
Trouble for somebody, as courtesy, but I'm certainly not bound. And typically, you know, you can have a conversation with somebody and say, hey, if I'm going to send you an email, it's off the record, okay, and then you're bound.
Then you're bound. But the unsolicited email shouldn't be assumed to be treated as off the record. That's actually an interesting wrinkle. That's the first I've heard
that. I mean, if it's boring, you can assume it's off the record as you start, right? I mean, you know, it's not like, I mean, it's just if you're going to say something, like, crazy and abusive, for instance, you shouldn't expect it's going to be off the record. I really enjoy posting those sometimes.
One last question, and then we're going to throw it open to the audience. Worst pitch ever?
Oh, gosh, I couldn't think of one. I know my, like, personal, like, the thing that irritates me about pitches is people will often email you something and then call you and say, hey, did you get my email?
As, like, a conversation opener.
Well, it's just sort of a way to sort of get another bite at plugging it to you. Like, yes, I got your email.
Well, if somebody says no.
The reason I didn't write about this wasn't because my email is broken.
Well, no. What I was going to ask is, I mean, when you get far more pitches coming to you by email or IM than you possibly can use, so when you don't use something, should the sender just assume he's not interested, I shouldn't bother again, or should they assume, oh, my God, he's probably incredibly busy, let me keep trying?
I read everything.
You really do?
Yeah.
That's impressive. We'll have to send someone out to videotape you actually doing that. Okay, so here's what I'm going to ask. We do have a lot of people on the call. We have, up to this point, managed to work in a very convivial way where you unmute yourself and say your name and what your question is. I know we may get more than one person speaking, so we will try and do this without master control imposing mutes on some people. So go ahead, folks. First come, first serve. You have a question for Ben Smith. Please don't make it a pitch. Go ahead. Just unmute your phone. Say your name. I think we did have a question here in the comment thread. Let me see that. Yes. Do you respond to people pitching you? Should they expect a reply? That's from somebody at demos.org. In other words, if someone pitches you, do you reply to everyone?
No. No. And I guess, I mean, it's sort of like any other form of email, right? Like if it's, if it looks like a mass email, I usually don't. And
you
use like a personal email, I usually do. I think just the way, I mean, anybody would.
And how do you know if it's a personal email? It's because you recognize the
I mean,
person?
If my name is in the two line as opposed to.
Ah, I see. So if I can fake personalize my email, you'll be more responsive.
Yeah, I'll probably be more likely to respond.
Uh-huh.
May I ask a question?
Go ahead. Who's this?
This is Odile Weisenborn from Riptide Communications. I wanted to ask if you only will take a pitch if it's a email followed by a phone call. If there's no follow-up, do you disregard it?
No, I think I'm more likely to disregard it if there is a follow-up. I mean, I read the emails.
Thanks.
And why does the follow-up make you disregard it?
I don't know. No, that's not true. It's just like, I think that's sort of a standard thing that folks do, but it always struck me. It's just like a random pet peeve because I do read my emails. And in fact, that's why what email is for, is to be read, right? So, yeah.
Okay. Okay. So, in effect, you're saying, don't bug me.
Reading is faster. Yeah.
Yeah. That is trust that I'm reading it, and if I'm not responding, it's just because you're not hitting my sweet spot.
Right.
Okay. Other questions?
Hi. This is David Miller over at National Journal. I was just wondering, what, in terms of getting your attention, what works better, a informal note, or do you respond to, a press release as well?
I think it's just totally about the content. It's just as long as it's sort of clearly explained, and I'm often on my BlackBerry, and I think a clear subject line, like, I think it's Governor Patterson said all of his press releases, the headline is press release.
Hmm.
Which, like, isn't super useful in figuring out what it's about. But,
mm-hmm.
I don't really care one way or the other.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
As long as it's clear.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Clarity and brevity. That's coming through very clearly.
Yeah, I mean, I obviously am probably an outlier in that I work in these, like, tiny little bites and post 15 things a day, so.
Yeah, but you're also, you get a tremendous readership, you generate a tremendous amount of traffic. And, so clearly your hub. Question I have is there a way to get a new subject onto your radar screen? I mean, you have a couple of subjects that seem to be, your primary focus during the campaign. That was obvious. Now, obviously the politics and optics of what's going on in Washington. But, for example, I've noticed you do write a fair amount more about what's going on within the labor movement than other political bloggers, mainstream media. Is that just because Ben Smith has a particular interest in internal fights in the labor movement, or somebody somehow pitched you and convinced you this was important?
No, it's because I have a personal interest in internal fights, and also because, like, my beat is sort of more focused on the kind of infrastructure of the two parties, and so civil wars within that are kind of, often they involve the same people who I'm talking to for about sort of macro issues. These are the things going on in their backyards, and so they're kind of overlapping worlds.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I'm repeating the question. Is there a way to get a new topic on your agenda? Are you looking to expand what topics you cover? You feel like you've got enough?
No, I mean, I think, like, things that tie in sort of unconventional or sort of the tie into national politics, but in ways that aren't always, like, in sort of non-obvious ways or in sort of, cultural trends that are in some way sort of tied to the things that I'm writing about every day is something that always interests me.
Hmm. How about swag? Can you be swayed by expensive swag?
I mean, I'm not really allowed to take swag. At the New York, I'm not actually, gosh, I should be up on Politico's rule. I mean, I sort of don't take stuff, but the best rule I ever had on this was at the New York Sun, where the rule was you could only accept gifts that you could consume on the spot, but that you did consume on the spot, in fact. If you could just eat it right there.
So if I send you a fancy new telephone, not going to work.
Yep. It's not going to work. We had a question about Sirius Satellite Radio was doing a bunch of political programming. I guess maybe they still are, but I was listening to it and writing about it a bunch for a while. And the spokesman there got sick of sending me transcripts and instead sent me a radio at some point. And so there was some discussion about that, but we decided that was all right because it was like a newspaper subscription. You know, it was about the information, not the gadget.
Right. I'm just going to go knocking through the basics here, but if somebody has a question, feel free to jump in. Press kits mean anything to you anymore? Does a press kit matter?
No. I mean, having good information available online matters. Like, then I actually, the folders, I've been, like, buying and selling. I've been trying to buy a house, and I've been using folders from various press kits to carry lots of documents around. But I have to admit, I just dumped the contents of the press kits.
Okay. Save a tree. Dump a press kit.
Yeah, seriously.
If you're not interested in a pitch, do you forward it to other folks at an outlet who might be interested?
Sure. At my outlet or at other outlets, for sure.
Yeah, you do spread stuff around.
Yeah, definitely.
And that's how things come to you as well?
Often, yeah.
Very good. Other questions from the audience? We only have about 10 minutes left with Ben, so please jump in. So I have a question in the chat for you from Mike Kruger. If I want to get Ben to highlight my stuff, do I need to email him a week or three earlier saying, hi, I like your stuff? Or should I just come in with the goods in an initial email?
Yeah, just email me. It's enough people are doing the latter, that it's sort of annoying. Like,
right.
If you feel like people are pretending to like your stuff because they, down the road, want something from you.
Right.
So I think it's better just to, I mean, you know, there are ways in which the Internet is a very straightforwardly transactional world, and you don't need to kind of, like, hide from that.
Cool. I hear somebody trying to get in for a question. Make sure your phone is unmuted. Okay, I'm going to ask you about Twitter in the meantime. How are you using it, and is it a channel for you to also get ideas?
It is definitely a channel for me to get ideas, just because, you know, I'm seeing what all these other folks are talking about and working on, and also because it's, you know, a place where the people whose words matter, the politicians, where, you know, they can say something that matters, are saying it. Sometimes, so sometimes, like, notably Claire McCaskill will say something that, you know, advances a story or just, you know, is news in an old-fashioned, straightforward way. I mean, I actually feel like Twitter is, like, a place I have to be rather than a...
But you're only following 159 people on Twitter, so are you using other tools to track, you know, Claire McCaskill, or she's one of the people you follow?
I suppose she's one of the people I follow. I know, maybe I should be following more people. I don't know. I can't say I'm in love with the medium. And also kind of, you know, I think like a lot of people, you know, there's an expectation of sort of that it'd be kind of personally intimate and revelatory, or at least kind of fake that as a lot of, in some way. And there's sort of a balance of that with, you know, having it be a place where you kind of work, but, you know, keep your personal life out of.
And that's a challenge. I have a question here from my colleague Andel Coaster. What is the most interesting pitch you've gotten?
I mean, I suppose it would be something that I wound up writing about. I mean, I guess, but though I don't think, I mean, I think that, like, in terms of pitches, I'm just probably 10 to 1 more likely to like link something that's from some random person pushing something, you know, that they may have an agenda on, but that they also think is interesting than something from a press person. I don't know, maybe because those are just sort of more keyed into what might actually interest me rather than what the client wants.
Mm-hmm.
So what you're saying is the organic
a pitch from someone who seems authentically tied to the story is somehow better than a PR agency.
I don't think it's better in principle. I just think they're more often
more effective.
Well, they're just much more often contain interesting stuff.
Okay. Do you have a blacklist of people who you just ignore?
Yeah. I haven't blocked them from my email or anything. But there are definitely like press releases that get forwarded around with a kind of eye rolls.
Mm.
So.
Mm-hmm. We'd love
we get an RSS
feed of those. That would be fun.
I think book press releases, for some reason often, like, you know, like some tragedy will strike, and some author who has written about tragedies, PR person will suddenly be frantically pitching, like, you know, since, you know, some horrible thing happened, we thought you might like to talk to our author, so in this chipper tone, sometimes a little strange. I don't know, I think I kind of tweaked the Daily Beast's PR guy a week or two ago for pitching a Meghan McCain blog item, just because, like, you know, she's out there a lot.
Mm-hmm. And it wasn't needed.
She's not underexposed.
So you, okay, got it. Somebody chiming in to ask a question?
This is Anna.
Oh, hi, Anna. Great that you're on the call.
Anna.
We've got 5 minutes left with Ben, but just hang out.
That's what I was thinking I would do.
Chime in whenever. I'm actually going to run you through the same set of questions that I ran Ben through.
I'm getting some aggressive pitches about the DC madam right now from her lawyer.
There's a DC madam? I haven't heard about this.
Oh, well,
you've forgotten about it. It was months ago. You've totally forgotten it ever happened.
Oh, okay. That DC madam. Okay, I was going to ask about, I did ask about Twitter. You don't use any kind of a tip, like a special email address for tips or any kind of form that you ask people to fill out. You know, like Boing Boing has that system.
We have a form.
Uh-huh, you do?
There is a form where if you, like, particularly for people, it's like you read my story and my email address isn't necessarily there the way it is on the blog, and but it is a form inside the site that people use. So it works well.
So do you think, it sounds to me like you think the system is working pretty well for you right now in terms of, you know, the information you want is getting to you and you can kind of deal with the absurd fire hose that's aimed at you anyway, right?
I mean, the fire hose is kind of daunting sometimes, but
about how many story pitches you get a day.
I mean, from sort of, like, press release hit pitches, a few hundred, probably.
A few hundred a day?
Yeah.
Okay. And then from IMs, you said you could sometimes have several dozen IM windows open at the same time.
Yeah.
And you did this all by yourself, Ben?
Yeah.
And what do you do to decompress after you've been dealing with this for 12 hours straight?
I try to deal with it for less than 12 hours straight, but honestly less so than I did during the election. I'm trying to, like, you know, switch off a little bit. I actually TiVo'd the press conference last night.
Uh-huh.
A little, you know, wrecked by guilt about it. But, you know, I hang out with my kids to decompress and try and they steal the BlackBerry. It's their favorite game.
Uh-huh. So Daddy can't be quite as on as he always is. Okay, last question, and I'm going to let you go. What would you say is the best way for someone to build an ongoing relationship with you where, you know, they can confidently feed you things from time to time?
I mean, you know, just send me interesting stuff.
And be trustworthy.
I mean, the only really annoying thing is if somebody says, which rarely happens, like, here's this hot exclusive, and then they also hand it off to somebody else simultaneously who writes it first.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, again, I mean, that's not like a matter of, like, professional ethics. It's more just, like, sort of an annoying thing to do in any circumstance.
But if they've told you it's an exclusive and it's not, don't you feel that they've kind of burned you?
Oh, totally. I mean, it's a dishonest thing to do, but not in a specifically journalistic way.
Uh-huh. It just happens. And do those people then go on the bad list for you, or you still pay attention to them because their stuff's good?
Yeah, I don't really, I often honestly forget where I've gotten stuff. Like, I don't really focus on where it's coming from.
Uh-huh. Okay. So the last question here, and I really will let you go, is, so how do you prioritize if you're getting that many incoming pitches a day?
Well, I just try to, like, knock them out as they come in and not ever let stuff build up.
Mm.
If something's interesting, write it immediately or start making calls on it immediately.
Mm-hmm. So you're rarely in a position where you're working on a long-range story.
Well, sure I am. That's kind of going on in the background during, like, the comment period. But if I get something that feels breaking, I mean, that's, I think, you know, why people want to read is because, like, this is the latest.
Okay. All right, well, great. This is, anyone, last question for last chance to ask Ben a question? Otherwise, we're going to shift over to Anna Marie. Going once. Going twice. All right, Ben, thank you so much. Again, thanks to Ben
thank
Smith
you.
From Politico. May all your pitches be good ones. Take care, Ben.
Thanks.
Anna?
Hello.
Hi. Welcome.
Hi.
Welcome to the PDF Network.
It's good to be here.
I wanted
wherever
to
just, here is.
Here is in cyberspace.
Yeah.
Thank you for making the time to talk with us. I think we have several dozen people on the call listening in. I've asked them all to mute their phones. I'm going to sort of walk you through a bunch of questions, and then we'll give people a chance to unmute and ask directly. I should mention that this is all on the record.
Okay.
And we're recording it, and it'll be posted on the PDF Network homepage as MP3 and sent out as a podcast. And so, you know, basically we're multimedia now.
Okay.
All right. So the beginning question is, you know, do you like getting pitched? Is it helpful to you? What works in pitching you and what seriously doesn't work?
I was thinking about this in preparation for this call, and I decided that anything that smells like a pitch, I hate.
Hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, it's obvious. By the way, I just got a car. I'm talking to you on the way into my actual job.
Hmm.
Anything that feels like a pitch to me, I have an instinctive, you know, like, ugh, you know, negative reaction.
Well, what are some signals of that?
Well, there are obvious ones, like if the email is not addressed to me, if it shows no indication that it's familiar with the kind of stuff that I do, the person who's pitching is familiar with the kind of stuff that I do.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, I was thinking about how maybe something better would be to describe a relationship that works. How about that, rather than trying to describe what doesn't work?
Okay, go ahead.
I think both the Kerry and McCain campaign had very good oppo staff.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that's sort of the ultimate form of placing stories. And I had a really good relationship with the Obama people, and I was thinking about it, it's like, because it wasn't, they didn't contact me just to pitch me.
Mm.
I felt like they were, whether or not they actually liked me, I have no idea.
Mm-hmm. But they took the time to build a relationship with you.
They took the time to build a relationship. I felt comfortable saying no to them,
mm-hmm.
which I actually think is also important, because that way, you know that if you don't want to be caught, like, taking a story just because you want to build that relationship. I mean, that makes it very unequal. And it sort of encourages, like, it sows the seeds of a bad relationship.
Hmm.
And so I think the ideal is to have a relationship. Like, actually, one of my very best friends in the world is an author researcher. And she started out as someone pitching me stories.
Hmm.
And
then you came to become friends.
We came to be very good friends. And I think that's sort of in a best-case scenario. She got to know the kinds of stuff that I like. She never pitched me anything that was off base. And when she knew that she had a dumb story that she had to pitch me because her bosses wanted it somewhere,
mm-hmm.
she admitted it.
mm-hmm. So candor is helpful. But, you know, let's go back to before it was the presidential season, because obviously presidential campaign media operations are like a completely different beast.
Right.
And back to the days when you were at One Cat,
right.
and you were covering, you know, D.C. more broadly.
I would say the same thing still applies in the
mm-hmm.
sense that whether or not it's genuine, you want to feel like the person who's pitching you knows you.
Mm-hmm.
And is not simply coming to you because you're just another outlet.
Right. What is the...
And that's not just about ego, either. That's about, like, it saves everyone time.
Right.
You know.
What is the best pathway to you now? Is it email? Is it IM?
Email. Email works. I find people that IM me that don't know me, I find that intrusive. I don't know what the etiquette has, especially now with Gmail, since you can get so many people automatically showing up.
Right.
In your message screen. I think we need to all relearn that.
So don't be intrusive.
I have a you know, mail to address on my website, on my personal website.
Mm-hmm.
And I that goes to a, you know, that gets flagged in a different way. So I know when people are emailing me that that's where they got the address, and I treat those emails a little bit differently. I guess
differently better.
What?
Differently better, as in okay, these people are
differently. I just know it's from people that I don't. It's from people that don't know me.
But
know?
It's okay that I mean, look, obviously,
sure,
you're going to hear but from people, yeah,
right, exactly. But so I have a different set of expectations when I look at that email.
Mm-hmm.
Put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it's the same stuff. Like email's best. I don't actually do phone calls very well, especially from people. Again, if I don't know a person.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hesitant to take a call. But if someone is more comfortable on the phone, and I know a lot of people who work with the press are,
mm-hmm.
I think that what's worked in the past is someone emailing me describing, you know, sort of in general what they want to talk about, and then, you know, can I call you? I guess it's just about, you know, I feel like some of this, you know, they heard Alice part of Ben's, you know, discussion. Some of this, it just seems to me like the way that you would treat it, it's just common sense. But I also think that it can be weird if you're doing this all day long, you know, I think for both sides.
Yep.
So maybe we need to remember those basic things. I'm trying to think of stuff that's worked and like even at Wonkette. For me, and this is maybe just a, sort of another facet of people knowing their target. For me, if someone was funny, that shot them to the top.
Mm.
If I was amused by this person's pitch, I was guaranteed to at least get an email back from me.
Do you try to reply to everybody, or no, you don't have the time?
I do not have the time to reply to everyone.
Ben described getting several hundred email pitches a day. Is that roughly the same for you?
Oh, no. I don't, I mean, not, I mean, during the campaign season, I would say that was typical, but especially now that I don't have an ongoing blog,
mm-hmm.
I get pitched a lot less. I kind of am enjoying it while I have it.
Yeah.
Because I imagine, you know, eventually my radio show will be starting up, and I imagine that I will get more pitches then.
Right, so. Right. Do you care about being offered an exclusive? Does that help sway you?
Well, I'm going to have to, you know, take myself sort of out of this specific, you know, at this specific point in my career where I'm sort of between outlets.
Sure. But in general.
In general, I love an exclusive. I think that it's, and again, I feel like I'm repeating myself, but again, it's like matching the, you know, story to the place that you want to put it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to think, like, what, oh, you know, this is, I have to, because the election was so recent, that's all my examples are coming from that.
Okay.
But, you know, like, the Obama campaign offered me an interview with Reggie Love.
Uh-huh.
And that just fit perfectly with my kind of, my sensibility and the way that I approach covering campaigns. And, you know, it built so much goodwill, and they got a story out that they wanted to get out.
So that yeah, obviously, especially being able to get the color and the detail and maybe the feature story rather than the breaking story.
Oh yeah, well for me again, this is like a matching your, you know, outlet and story here.
Right.
Definitely, like, you know, you if it's a quick hit thing, like we just found out John McCain owns 6 houses, like that is probably something, you know, that you'd want to do a blog post about. But
mm-hmm.
that stuff is so ephemeral, unless it's, like, huge. I don't necessarily feel like it's that important to get a scoop on it.
Mm.
You know, and big stories rare, I think, don't come from, you know, don't get placed. You generally reporters still are responsible for the really big stories.
Sure, sure. Do you care about...
I think that those kinds of things can build a lot of goodwill. That's what I think.
Right. Yeah, less. Somebody was asking, how did they build that relationship with you on the Obama campaign? I mean, was it, you know, how much of it was like socializing on the bus or, you know, on the plane?
There was some socializing. Definitely, like, there was drinking involved. But also, I think, you know, very funny people, very quick, and also knew exactly the kind of stuff that I wanted.
Hmm.
And I never felt like my time was being wasted
mm-hmm.
when they got in touch with me.
Mm-hmm.
And because even if I didn't use what they were giving me, we had a pleasant interaction. I learned something, you know. It didn't feel like we had to have an accounting system of like
okay.
who's done who a favor here.
Okay. Well, that's a special case. Again, you know, the campaign is
right.
its own special.
But I do think that extends to other things as well. Like to that feeling of like not owing each other anything.
Mm.
But
somebody, let's go sort of generalize back from that specific case. And somebody who is trying to get to know you and reach out to you, you know, what are the best pathways to doing that? Is it they should start friending you and following you, or
please
you know?
Don't friend me. I think okay. So you, give me an example of what kind of person would be doing this, and I will try to.
Okay. You know. Well, I mean, I you know, to my
give
mind,
me a, give me a case.
Yeah.
So
well,
I
it's a, it seems to me that you know, given the size of your platform, right? I mean,
right.
whatever it is, 400,000 followers on Twitter, you're going to have a radio show on Air America soon, and, you know, you say something and a lot of people notice. You
right.
can think of, you know, anybody who might have a particular issue they're trying to get attention to, you know, not necessarily the latest thing that Obama has done, good or bad,
right.
but, you know, here's why people should care about healthcare or the environment or something. Are those things that are just like, they'll never be an Anna Marie Cox story because they're just too, you know, kind of mundane?
No. I think that they're sort of, I think that in that particular case, like someone who's at a healthcare alliance,
mm-hmm.
I actually do know someone who is a communications director at a healthcare alliance.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just give this a very specific example because this happened. I mean, I think this is exactly what you're talking about. I ran into this woman who I knew from another life at the Democratic convention,
mm-hmm.
and we were both at the CNN grill. We had a drink together. We caught up, exchanged some gossip. She told me what she was up to now. I was like, "Wow, that's really great." You know, my dad happens to be an actuary, so I have some interest in healthcare reform.
Hmm.
And she gave me her card, and I gave her my card, and we parted ways. And then, like a couple months later, I wrote something on, this is when I was back at Time, I wrote something on the Swampland blog about talking to my father about healthcare reform.
I remember that piece, yeah.
And she emailed me right away
mm.
and said, I have some great, you know, backgrounders on this.
Mm-hmm.
And I think some of this really addresses exactly what your dad's talking about. You know, would you be interested? And I was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like that seems kind of random, but what I think is important there is like she was paying attention.
Right.
You know,
do you pay attention to people commenting? Like when you were blogging in Swampland, did comments on your blog affect
that's
your
a whole separate conversation? I think that that's a bad place to try and make to create a relationship with an author or blogger.
Why?
Because so much of what happens in a comment section, at least, well, it depends on what kind of comment section you have, I guess, but the Swampland comment section was really dominated by leftist center, you know, amateur media critics
mm.
that were pretty combative and judgmental.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that anyone that was trying and who it was not a, it was not an atmosphere that created goodwill, let's put it that way. So, and also I think it's just like I think other commenters don't appreciate it if you're obviously trying to sort of, you know, sell something.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think about, I had another point about the healthcare alliance, example, which is that there are stories, like, that's not my beat, I don't do a lot of policy stuff, but if, in this recent thing, if I was at Blanket or Swampland during this past week when Sebelius, her nomination is getting held up in the middle of this swine flu epidemic, if someone at a policy shop has an interesting take on what exactly was being held up, or something that would be an ironic take on that,
mm-hmm.
That's a Anna Marie Cox angle on what is maybe more, if you're not paying attention or if you're not thinking
right.
about it, seems like a dry policy story.
Right. Irony is a plus.
Yeah, for me. I feel like I can't. But also I think journalists in general do appreciate irony. And that's a good way to, if you are working at a policy place, I think that's kind of a great way to make an entry with someone who doesn't cover policy.
Sure. I'm going to ask you one more question then and open it up to the floor. So tell us a little bit about what you're planning for your show at Air America, what kinds of stuff you would like to get pitched.
Right now I'm doing a weekly show, which
mm-hmm.
is basically a Sunday chat show on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
And now that I'm doing it, I feel like every Sunday chat show should be on the radio because there's no point to seeing what these people look like. that's a Sunday chat show. So it's sort of politics, news of the week, a newsmaker. Actually, in that, I'm interested in newsmaker types that can talk about, current issues. Another example, a friend of mine who used to be a reporter now works for a cabinet secretary. I won't
mm-hmm.
name who. And I ran into her, and she heard about my show and was like, you definitely need to talk to him, And I was like, I don't know. That's not really my area. And she was like, well, actually, he has this really funny story about this, and there's really interesting stuff about this. And she was excited, and I need that kind of stuff. I need, that something in that range of personality, people who can be authoritative on issues, but also, have an interesting, angle or story to tell.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm looking for.
mm-hmm.
Is
it going to be, it's Air America, so I'm just wondering, are you going to be...
Well, I'm very serious about not keeping it super liberal. I am personally, for instance, when I showed it today, the panel is going to be the Washington correspondent for Salon and an op-ed writer for the Washington Times.
Uh-huh.
And this is the second time that she's done it, Amanda Carpenter, the Washington Times person. And we have a very good relationship, and I appreciate her coming on, and I think she preached it at the same time, so I think she probably feels like she's being treated fairly. I covered public...
Uh-oh. We may have lost Anna Marie. Okay, that sounded like she was going through a tunnel. Folks, if you want to... join in on the conversation while we try and get Anna Marie back. We will do that. Anyone have a question? We can sort of queue up, assuming she's about to call back in.
May I ask a question?
Yeah, go ahead. Who's this?
This is, again, Odile Weisenborn from Riptide Communications.
Okay.
Thanks. Just very briefly, it seems like the answers we're getting, they're very personal answers, and I'm wondering if there's any way to get answers that would be more generally what bloggers in general would like.
Okay, I'll see if I can do that.
Okay, thank
you. It's also possible that there is no one-size-fits-all strategy.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
I think that from my own personal experience, it really does seem that bloggers are very individualistic in their approaches, and you really do have to pay attention to what they specialize in as opposed to...
This is Danielle Kosich. I'm calling from Bravo Group in Harrisburg, and I end up pitching a lot of our statewide bloggers, our state politics bloggers here in Pennsylvania, and my problem has been with basically convincing my clients that, pitching bloggers isn't a waste of their resources and my time. But the other thing is a lot of the statewide bloggers, in particular, they have second jobs and it's kind of what they do on the side. So, like Ben had mentioned earlier, I pretty much send off an email and don't bother with follow-ups because, you know, a lot of times they have other jobs or, you know, I'm just trying to not interfere with their lives, just kind of putting it out there.
Mm-hmm.
That's been my experience anyway.
But while I have you, do you find when a blogger picks up one of your stories that it is effective? I mean, the political media, there can't be that many places to get a political story out in a given state.
It has been, especially as it kind of sticks around with link backs and you know, Google, the news stories eventually fade away, but the blog results kind of stick around in the Google results.
Mm-hmm.
So I think as that time goes by, it, you know, gets easier. And as I've, you know, continued to pitch bloggers, like Anna had mentioned, you kind of end up building a relationship with them. So even though I am a PR person, I do have a little bit of...
Sorry. I'm back.
Okay, Anna, thank you. I'm sorry, we were just hearing from Danielle in Pennsylvania. Where were you?
Harrisburg.
Describing the efforts she goes through to pick political bloggers in the state. Anna, there's a question that came up, and it also reflects on what Danielle was just saying, which is, apart from the general, the specific ways that work in pitching you,
right.
I mean, would you be able to give us some general thoughts about best practices in reaching political bloggers, what, you know, you would see as do's or don'ts as you talk to your peers? You know, I mean, you have a quirky approach in some ways. It's, you know, a unique voice and style. And in many cases, we're talking about people who are kind of hardcore, you know, politically one way or the other. Any thoughts on that front? And then I'm going to open it up again to questions from other people on the call. Hello?
I have full bars. I don't know about you guys. I've got all the bars. But best practices. I think that I would guess that a lot of the things that I've talked about for me are true in terms of being very, very targeted,
mm-hmm.
Knowing the person that you're pitching, knowing the outlet. No fucking way. Sorry, wait.
No, you're still with us. Yes.
Sorry.
It's okay. So being very, very directed, very focused on, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Being very directed, very focused, knowing what it is you want out of them, too. I think I think other people might not feel the same way, but I think, you know, do you want this to be a blog post? Are you interested in a story? What is your desire? Let's
right.
put it that way.
What do you say, the other, Danielle, who was just asking a question before you got back on, also mentioned that she often has to convince her clients that it's actually worth their time, resources, to be pitching political bloggers, that there's still a sense that, you know, just go for the regular professional journalists.
Well, it depends on what the story is, but I think that we've seen, you know, I think this election and basically the entire, I mean, well, look at it this way. Here's one good, you know, the White House lets bloggers in now.
Mm-hmm.
And if I think we can all acknowledge that that is one of the most savvy, you know, media teams on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
So they think it's important to reach out to them, and they think it's important to put news in the hands of those people. I would think that, you know, we can recognize that it's important for anyone that's interested in having a sophisticated media strategy. But I also think that bloggers have a much, this term always sounds dirty to me, but bloggers have a much larger news hole, you know, than a professional journalist. Although professional journalists these days do also have a blog, usually to fill themselves. But, you know, when I was at Wonkette, man, I was hungry for ideas and
mm-hmm.
stories and for tips. And I think that if you have that kind of quota, that you can do more. And also, a blogger, you know what, if I got interested in a story, I do, you know, 7, 8, you know, 9, 2 dozen posts on it
mm-hmm.
if I got really caught up in it. You know, I think a more traditional journalist would see things as, well, you know, I've done that story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why should I do that again? Why should I do anything more on it? I've done it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whereas if I was amused by something, I could sort of just keep going.
Now, you mentioned an interest in healthcare. Is there a way to get something new on your radar screen?
Well, I don't know what one means by new.
Is there a way to get Anna Marie Cox to, you know, blog about the environment?
Sure there is.
Yeah.
But I think it's like you have to find, you know, gosh, I got super interested in the Interior Department after we found out they were all, like, having sex and doing cocaine.
I see. The sex angle will work for you.
Sure. It'll work for anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And then it also became interesting, like, what was, like, to, you know, I mean, to a more serious point, like, how that department failed the country, you know, while they were doing that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think that you don't, it's, just because something's salacious doesn't mean that there can't be kind of a valuable political point to be made.
I agree. Questions from the audience. Either chime in on the chat or
I'll try to stay for a little while longer since we left.
I appreciate that. We still have plenty of people on the call. Go ahead, just unmute your phone if you have a question for Anna Marie Cox. Say who you are, ask your question. Don't be afraid. She doesn't bite, as far as I know.
I guess no one is interested.
Here we go.
Mr. Smith mentioned that press kits don't work for him. How do you feel about press kits?
Hate press kits, too. Yes.
Throw them away.
Throw them away. Like, I also feel so bad. I mean, I feel bad about it, like, especially when someone puts it, like, in a nice folder, you know, and there's there might be a DVD in it. Physical press kits are, I think, unless you have, like, some amazing piece of swag, you know,
I see.
Always is appreciated.
Give me an example of your favorite piece of swag.
Let's see. You know what? USB fobs.
You like those.
Memory sticks, those are great. Those were, like, on the campaign trail, those were very popular. My favorite lanyard that was distributed at a debate was, like, a lanyard that had a USB memory stick in it, which is, I think, fascinating.
Incredibly
useful. And very
useful
for a journalist. A friend of mine once got this really, I mean, sorry, I'm going to geek out on you, but, you know, like, gadgets that journalists use. You know, those are nice to have.
What, you mean like toothbrushes or?
Wow, I hadn't thought about that. But toothbrushes actually on the campaign trail, I bet you would have gotten some attention for giving out toothbrushes.
Or you wouldn't be insulted?
I would not personally be insulted because I have lost a lot of toothbrushes. Actually, it would have been really funny now that I think about it. Someone should have given out, you know, you have those like little packets of laundry soap to do in your hotel, like you do
yes.
in your hotel sink. That would have been very smart.
Yes. Well, you blogged often about doing your laundry in the sink, so obviously that was a need for you.
Yeah. But I think electronic press kits are a different story, and especially abbreviated slideshow. If I can, like, click on something and see a slideshow about what you want, what you're up to, and that takes 30 seconds or a minute of my time, and it's good, then I might want to look at other things. And I think also, you know, oh, God, I cannot tell you how all of your, like, press information, speeches, transcripts, video, please let that be somewhere on your website that's easily searchable and gettable.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe how many political offices in this town make it hard for a journalist to find a press release.
Mm-hmm. But you wouldn't put it on the homepage necessarily. You would just tuck it away in a press section. But make
well,
it
I think the press section, that's where I look for it usually.
Yeah, you look for the press button.
Yeah, for old stuff too. I mean, like, you know. That's another thing about blogging is that I think actually blogging in some ways can afford to be more disassociated from the news cycle than a print journalist because, you know, we get obsessed with stories that the mainstream media has overlooked. So an old press release or, you know, archived information sheet is very helpful.
Do you I'll let someone jump in if they have a question, but go ahead.
Anna Marie, this is Erin Skinner. I was just wondering what's the best tip that you've actually ever received from a pitch? I know you probably get a lot of bad ones, but was just wondering if there was one that stands out in your memory as particularly good.
Wow. I'm sure it won't get. Well, I mean, you know, Well, again, I sort of, it was more gossip than it was, you know, tips. Everything from the Washingtonian scandal to when Cheney, you know, told Leahy to perform a difficult procedure upon himself.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just appreciated. Like, in those days, like, that kind of thing, it was just speed was what I really appreciated people could give me. I think that, I'm trying to get, like, a more substantive one that I've been really happy with. And I feel like rather than a particular tip, I do feel like it's those relationships that I've referred to, I guess, maybe too much, that have been most helpful. An ongoing relationship is definitely helpful when you have a story that you really need help on, you know, in some specific way. And if we have a relationship going back, I've done that. I can think of several examples of when someone who I built up a relationship with has come to me and said, you know, I know this is a crappy story. I know that this is like a stupid thing, but I have a good angle for you and I really need this.
Mm.
That does happen. I think that's probably every journalist. Ben probably didn't admit that, but.
Sure. Well, the fact is that as a, you know, if you have a blog and you're pumping out several items or several dozen items a day, you have more room to pad it with things like that too, that are also favors. Right.
Yeah. And then, and also, and again, it's a sort of like, if someone says, I have a good way for you to, you know, and I have an idea for how you know, this would work really well for you specifically too.
Mm-hmm.
That is obviously
okay.
Really
other,
welcome.
Other questions from folks on the call? We'll take a few more minutes. I know we're just over the 2 o'clock time frame and people may have to begin to go back to whatever they have in their schedules. But if you have a question you were hoping to ask Anna Marie.
And I'm about to go into a parking garage if there are no more questions.
Well, we're going to let you go in a second.
Okay.
My last question then for you, Anna Marie, 400,000 followers on Twitter.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah, well, how is this changing your life, and how do you use it for the work that you do now?
Wow. Let's see. I try not to think about it too much, because I think that, you know, the way that I got there was by being myself and often irreverent and random. I almost Twittered today about like a sign I saw at a local restaurant, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There's a restaurant in my neighborhood called Wonder Chicken.
Mm-hmm.
And that is amusing. And I almost Twittered about that. Although, and then I thought, well, would 400,000 people find that amusing? And I wasn't as sure.
Uh-huh.
I just entered the parking garage. There you hear.
We're about to lose you.
Yes.
I try not to
think about it too much, honestly. It has been very helpful for, if I have a problem that I need, like, literally just like, please someone tell me if you know anything about this. You know?
And then you look for the at replies, or you because you're not following as many of those people.
I look at the at replies.
Ah, so there's another way to get your attention.
Yeah. All right, and now I'm causing a traffic jam.
All right. Thank you so much, Anna Marie, and I'm going to close off the call by thanking again our sponsors, AT&T and the Bivings Group.
Thank you.
And we will see you, Anna Marie, we'll see you at the
conference. Goodbye.
Okay, bye-bye. Anna Marie will be speaking at the Personal Democracy Forum conference at the end of June 29th and 30th here in New York. And as members of the PDF Network, you know you get a discount as part of your membership. And we will see you again in 2 weeks when the speaker will be Allison Fine, author of the book Momentum, and she's going to be talking about return on investment for using social media. We'll see you all then. Until then, thank you. This is Micha Sifri for PDF Network signing off. Take care. To, you know, just sort of generic approaches. But we can bring that up.
Thank you so much.